Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, Mark Megan's Weekly Roast is proudly brought to you by Cialis for Men, helping you get and keep an erection, yours by the way, whenever you need it. I am so happy to be working with the brand that will help men, not just with their erections, but in realising, Michael, that there is nothing to be embarrassed about. Nearly 3 in 10 males have experienced ED, but only 1 in 4 are comfortable discussing it. Let's change that. Cialis for Men is now available without prescription from pharmacies nationwide. That's nationwide in Spanish.
Nice.
All it takes is a quick chat with your pharmacist and you're off to the races. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity, contains tadalafil. Always read the label. Michael, are you able for the bad news I'm about to bring?
Oh no.
It's the last podcast.
Yes.
For 6 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
The pat leave.
You lucky bat. No.
Yeah. You dirty capitalist. 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
God.
So this is the last roast. The next time I will be talking to you will be in December.
Yes.
Which is, that's by the way, on the mic and off the mic.
Sure.
You are to come in no way at all near my life, my wife, my child, him or her. I want a gift.
Yes.
Leave it at the door.
Okay.
DPD. Don't do fast away. It'll come in sometime next June.
Right.
Into the neighbour's hedge. Nevertheless.
That's that sponsorship gone.
That's the fast away deal gone. And they probably don't pay their fucking staff. They're certainly not going to pay me, dirty bastards.
Oh, God. How are you feeling?
I'm just sad.
Sad?
I miss coming here, talking to you guys every day.
Yeah.
So.
I'll be here. I won't.
You know the phrase, the show must go on. I'm only joking.
No, yeah.
There's no patling.
Oh, good.
I couldn't do it.
No.
To yourself, to Darren, to the listeners, there's no way.
No.
I'm going to try and keep the show on the road.
I mean,
I was hoping for a big reveal there. There's no pat leave, guys.
I don't think anyone would blame you for taking a week or two. It's your first child.
I think for the first week, I will, like, we're sort of on the, it's any day now,
yes.
Right? But I think I will probably, maybe we might have to lose a roast mortem. But the idea is I'm trying to kit out the garden studio in so we can record.
Okay.
So we'll get you over to the gaff.
Brilliant.
Wet the baby's head with some Tenora or something.
Lovely.
As it were. I wish my favourite drink had a bit of cash. It's annoying that my favourite drink is Tenora. Do you know what I mean?
I still haven't had it. That's a mystery meal. That could be incorporate that.
Why isn't my favourite drink something that has a bit of advertising spend?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In fact,
bit of budget, a marketing team.
This is why I've always loved Fanta Zero. Do you know what I mean? I'm a huge, I actually am a Club Orange guy. Sort of any carbonated beverage that is a zero calorie option with a marketing budget is my favourite drink. That's I've famously always said that.
Except that one.
Except for, you know. Electric. No, it's too early for that sort of shit, my man. Nevertheless.
Oh, God, good to see you, Mark.
It's great to see you too. It is, it's truly great. And I've received some really touching messages. Forgive the earnestness, but I am a sentimental old fool at the moment, considering I'm about to become a father.
Understandable.
And I've received some amazing messages from people in the last week about just the way that the podcast transports them somewhere else and all the rest. Again, I've said this before, it does for us too.
Yeah, big time.
And at the moment, there's a lot going on and, you know, Michael's getting married. He's just back from Portugal where he was doing a tasting menu, which we will discuss because the spelling of hors d'oeuvres.
Well, yes, Mark.
Surely not. Michael put up a thing on his Instagram with saying hors d'oeuvres and it was a picture of a platter, right? With, you know, the sort of barbecued shrimp or the prawn filo. It looked delicious, right?
Yeah.
And he spelt hors d'oeuvres like it was a combination of the name Orlan Dervla. Like two fun sisters who'd set up a bakery in Burr, in Offaly. Do you know what I mean? Oh, you have to get into hors d'oeuvres. You don't. We won't. We shan't. We shouldn't.
What amazed me was, now, you have mentioned in the past to me about, you know, making mistakes and seeing what the reaction is like. So I decided to take a page in the old Megan book and I did it. What surprised me was the amount of people who got onto me who still had the wrong spelling.
Yes, that's a common thing. They say with the internet, they say the best way to get the correct answer to something on the internet is not to ask a question, but is to post the incorrect answer.
Yeah.
and then people will rush to correct you.
So yeah, it was a bit of a social experiment. And
okay, you're not exactly the Stanford fucking prison guy, do you know what I mean, for misspelling a word. Stop trying to over this is such pretension. This is what we do. This is why people don't like South Dublin guys with notions.
Bazinga,
right?
Gotcha.
Because it's like, yeah, it's a case study in behavioral science. You fumbled the bag when spelling something.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, guys, you're welcome to the Weekly Roast. It's been a lovely time for the podcast. We have 164,000 people listened last month on Spotify alone.
That's unbelievable.
Which, if you add that with like Apple, I think Spotify accounts for like 70%.
Yeah.
So then you've got Apple and then a few, the Go Loud app, of course.
Of course.
But of course. No, but you can't. You actually can't. But yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's a lot of people.
That is, like, that's big time.
So.
Incredible.
Thank you for your support. It's a treasure and a pleasure to talk to you every single week. As I said, the show will be kept on the road. I'm doing my best to figure things out. So whenever baby arrives, I will obviously be there for my wife and child and all of those moments and be as present as possible. But I also do want to get at least one show out a week over the next couple of weeks. Now, onwards, upwards, inwards. The huge announcement that I have that is not child related is also in the works. I have a meeting about it on Thursday and I have to figure out when that's allowed come into air.
Sure.
It's truly, some people messaged me saying they thought it was the Liveline gig. I was flattered and also then slightly devastated that I was never in the mix.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
Like when you ask someone like to guess how much and they just way overestimate them for a unit.
Oh, you're taking over from James Corden. No. But yes, we probably have a similar trajectory where we'd start off in our career as lovable, then we'd hit the big time and then people would hate us.
Sure.
And then we'd go back and sort of cut our teeth again on the stage. People go, oh, there's actually a good guy.
Yeah.
The sort of, anyway, I just, look, I'm about to have a baby, okay? The head's a little bit frazzled.
Of course.
Oh, baby brain. Today is the roast of cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
No, excuse me. Today is the roast of cheaters' excuses.
Yes.
It doesn't give you hope.
No. Unfortunately not. Not one for the romantics.
Not one for the romantics. And I will say this, some of the stuff that I received is just not publishable. And it's not fun either because it's just like truly despicable treatment of our fellow man. And also, some of the senders sending them in about the way that they've been treated, like it's borderline like abuse in the way that their partners treated them and the fact that they felt like they, not that they deserved to be treated like that, but they tolerated that sort of treatment. So I'm reluctant.
It's like self-effacing nearly.
Well, yeah, they're like, oh, I live with a guy for 7 years and he did this, this and this. And you're going, fuck, like there's no joy in any of that because it's just like, it's so miserable. All of his actions are deplorable or all of her actions are deplorable. But it's the fact that you just like withstood it for so long is really sad. And I'm not going to make light of that.
Mm.
Okay. So just remember that.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get going.
If the Liffey, you can't. They've started doing the rounds. I don't know. I'm getting fed spoken word stuff now.
Yeah.
It's genuinely the worst thing ever. You can't just keep saying, from the things to the thing, to the thing, to the thing. Either things or the thing. To the thing, to the thing, the thing. It's a thing. It's a great old thing. That's all it is.
But I find you get a lot of five-syllable words that all end in like Asian. So emancipation, education, liberation.
Yeah.
None of them mean anything.
But none of it means anything. If the Liffey was a minge, the city is the arse. A cum-stained seat on the back of the dart. Brilliant. Thank you for that.
10 grand.
Do you know what I mean? 11 grand. Diageo. Billboard. Thank you to Damien McGinty for putting together this piece. Sorry. I have said this before and this is the hill that I'm going to die on.
Okay.
Spoofer artist referring to something as a piece. What is it? Oh no, it's just a piece. No, you're calling it a piece because then it can't be criticised. Because if you said poem, I'd say it's dog shit.
Yeah.
I dismantle that thing stanza by stanza and tell you why it's dog shit. Talk about the prose. No, can't do that. It's just a piece. It's just a little, I'm just working on a piece. I did a scribbling old piece there. Sorry? Mr. Brennan? Spoofers. I swear to God. Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. Let's go.
Okay.
If Dublin was a gooch,
No.
Oh, Michael, sorry, before we continue, the Good Stuff merchandise store.
Oh, yes.
It's happening. Lots of people have been messaging about
this. Amazing.
Okay, if you're looking for, I think I'm going to do a limited release first. If you're looking for some of the merchandise, the Donkey Bastards, or Donkey Bastards rather, the Good Stuff, the Derangement levels, stay tuned on my Instagram because the store is going to go live in the next couple of days, but it's only going to be live for a day or so. So stay tuned. You might want to stick notifications on in case you're looking to get them for yourself or your friends.
Hey Mark, love the show. So I was on a 3-week trip with my ex in Jamaica. After a nightmare of getting there, loads of missed flights, and he owed me £1,000. My phone broke on the first day, so I had to use his phone to contact family at home, take pictures, whatever. And while on it, discovered that all my suspicions of him cheating were absolutely true. Not only with random girls, but also girls I'd met, some of his friends, yada. His best friend's girlfriend also, pretty fucked up. Anyway, didn't want to say anything to ruin the holiday because our friends were there. So I went 3 weeks in silence. And then on our first long-haul flight out of 3 on the way home, broke up with him. Didn't really tell him the reasons yet. But once he landed back in Ireland, said, look, listen, I know about all the cheating. Everything I've suspected is true. He admitted to all of it plus more. Cried his eyes out, begged me to stay with him, and then got down on one knee and proposed. Yeah. I said no.
Good stuff. Will you marry me? By the way, I got Siobhan, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In Jamaica.
Unbelievable.
That is just 2 women, 1 cry.
Oh.
No? Just sort of Muffalo Soldier. That's not bad. We're slamming. As in slamming. Yeah. Yeah.
30 little birds.
No. No. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Linguistically. Just put that in one of your little pieces.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. So you've got what for me, the most amazing thing about this is the ability to endure the whole holiday and not say anything. I am so not that type.
No.
I can't hold. If I'm arguing with Darren, I'll be like, right, this is the one where I'm just real mature. And I just act normal. I go, oh, no, nothing's wrong with me. Yeah. You know, I just act, you know, that sort of like.
I'm going to apply all the tools here.
Yeah, I'm just going to do all the tools. All the therapy is going to stand to me. And I'm just going to focus on my own garden. And she'll come in and be like, all right, bitch. No, I'm joking. I definitely, obviously, I wouldn't be like that. That's not funny. But I just can't.
No.
I can't pretend, which is both a gift and a curse.
I can't survive in an argument. Like, once there is a bone of contention, I can't just, like, let it sit there. It has to be addressed.
Like
if I knew that, I'd...
I wouldn't be able to hold... If I knew that I was going on holidays and somebody had cheated on me, turn the plane around. Amelia, up front, whoever... I'm going Malaysian on that. Airlines, by the way, not just general Malaysia. But do you know what I mean? I'm going like Italian pilot 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Into the side of the Alps.
I'm with you.
That's my vibe. Joyriding a 747. It's just so terrible.
Awful.
And then the last ditch attempt, will you marry me? Yes, actually I will. Because that will solve it.
That was the problem.
That was the problem. Yeah. It was the lack of the ring, which is why you were exploring other rings.
And I'm sure we'll talk about this a lot. That was very good, sorry.
Yeah, just a little anal pun. So we've started off well.
But I feel like a lot of cheaters have like, not that it's shame, but like they're more worried about, or the upset is about getting caught, not about the actual act itself.
Oh, of course. There's no guilt.
Yeah, so it's frustration. If they propose, it's like, I loved you so much that, you know.
It's coming out with something extraordinary and gallant and huge. I need an act that dwarfs the other act.
Yes.
So basically, I need to just throw something here. We'll move house.
Yeah.
It's the job. I need to quit my job. I've a problem. I've the blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
It needs to be something bigger than the act itself, rather than just, I did the bad thing and I need to sit with the fact that I did a bad thing and I caused somebody pain. Whereas by offering a thing that they reject, it's going, well, I gave you an opportunity to get out of this pain and you didn't take it, and thus they can sleep easier at night.
Yeah.
That would be my theory. But it's a bit too early for armchair psychology, so I think we should go.
Agreed.
Go.
Go.
Let's go.
Hey, Mark. An aunt of mine was married to, I always called him a priest, but he was, it's a reverend or something like that. I don't know what type of religion. But yeah, he had an affair on her. and told her that God told them to do it. So,
brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, that was his excuse. My poor nanny was devastated. Anyway, happy Sunday.
Just for the continuity there, it's actually Monday. So that's shocking.
Absolutely.
Blaming God. That is definitely the only time that excuse has ever been used in the history of mankind as well. God, when all else fails, God told me to do it. Did he, yeah? Did she, yeah?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did they, yeah?
Did they, yeah?
So.
Did it.
I don't know. I'm reluctant to get too into this because of so many very, very sinister and extreme examples of people in positions of power using that power to, So it's interesting that you put this at the second one. It's just like, are you trying to trip me up here? Before he goes on pat leave, let's stick a little dagger in the side, Joaquin Phoenix gladiator style. Do you know what I mean?
No, that wasn't my intention. I thought we'd maybe take a more lighthearted approach to
religious figures using their position of clerical authority to, you know, engage in fornication. Good God. Where is the sense check here? You're supposed to be a fucking producer. That is classic red zone material that you shoehorn in at the bitter end. You go, right, we've loosened up the gills. We'll throw that in at the end. He won't say anything mental. That is mental giving me that first. What's next? Oh, let's have a roast of the prayers of the faithful at the vigil for Madeleine McCann. Do you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, let's review your nana's will and criticise Aunt Bernadette and how big the gaff in West Cork she got was.
I'm sorry, Mark. I've let you down. God told me to do it.
Very good. Very good. You were never away. You've been here. I don't like the way the power dynamic is shifting here. I'm going to get cornered and start lashing out.
Yes, okay.
Morning. How are you? So this happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I was extremely sick. Very, very sick. And my partner at the time comforted me and all this and encouraged me to go to the doctor because I was so unwell, was getting that. I went to the doctor and I thought it was like kidney infection or whatever. I went to the doctor and she kind of planted a seed in my head and I was like, not a prayer, not a hope, no way. And 2 days later, they rang me and said, you have gonorrhea. So yeah, approached him and he denied that. He left the house for 4 days. Pure sign of guilt at the time that I didn't see, but we had a 2-year-old little girl at the time. And he completely denied it and he admitted it to me last October that he was paying for sex with a prostitute. There's no great juice to it, only the fact that he did try to convince me that the doctors were wrong and the doctor's tests were wrong and to go back to the doctor and get it retested and didn't deny it for a long, long time. Like, he actually believed his own lies that he did nothing wrong.
Oh, my God. A lot of people say he's a sexy guy. His favourite 3 letters, STI.
Lovely.
Yeah, so read them and weep.
I don't know what the content is.
This is horrendous.
Oh,
it's the continued deniability.
So pathological, just like.
That's gaslighting.
Oh, yeah.
Because gaslighting these days is like you have a disagreement with somebody and they go, stop trying to gaslight me. And you're like, Dad, this is not what that is.
You ask me what time it is.
Do you know what I mean? Also, you're allowed to disagree. Just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean they're gaslighting you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if somebody says to you, yeah, I'm not interested in doing that. Why not? Because I don't want. Oh, stop trying to coercive control. I'm not.
No.
That's the opposite of what this is. By the way. Do you know what I mean? This is just horrendous.
Absolutely.
I think once you get into, surely that's a crime.
What?
I would have thought that if you give somebody an STI, but then like lie, is that not a crime? Lying about it or denying it or, you know.
I don't think so. It'd be a hard one to prove, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably not a crime, in fact. In fact, I've probably revealed just how narrow my understanding of the complexity surrounding the Irish judicial system are there. That's a crime, right? Like not replacing the batteries in the remote, even though you know one's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or whipping pensioners with licorice all sorts.
Oh, no, that's a crime.
Oh, that's a crime.
That's
okay,
a crime. That's the line you've crossed.
Yeah, that's the
there.
Line there. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you had to endure that.
Awful. But I think it's, and you touched on it, but like trying to convince someone that a doctor's wrong. When you've gotten caught, you're better off just like fessing up and like being straightforward.
Yeah.
Because then you're causing the confusion and you're just drawing out everything more and more and more.
Yeah. Have you ever been cheated on?
No.
To your knowledge?
To my knowledge, no.
Yeah.
No, have you?
To my knowledge, no, but I think, yeah, sort of, like sort of. Like, there's no grey area with cheating. Like, I know in at least one relationship that there was definitely crossover.
Okay.
And I was aware of it, though, for about a month beforehand, but the relationship was on the old rocks anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
It's a hard one. I don't know.
Which, cheating. Well, it is hard. It's obviously hard to get as it is. When you're engaged, I'd say it's more tough for you to get away with it.
I'm saying the situation you were in to know where that line is crossed.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden, and it was at the stage of a relationship where you're sort of just in the mud anyway, and you're just, everything is wrong. And then it's like, well, what about that? It's like, well, there's nothing, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I did cheat on somebody.
Did you?
When it was my first girlfriend. I was 14, 15, I think. And it isn't something I'm proud of at all.
No, of course. But you learn.
27 times.
Wesley, didn't need to say that.
27 times in Wesley Disco. And she was at the disco at the same time.
Oh my God.
I was just going off to the smokier part of the room where the exotic girls hung out, like doing some Castleknock, do you know what I mean? There was always two sides of a disco.
There was.
There was. There was the side and then there was the... You know,
yeah.
But yeah, I think 27 in the one night. Genuinely tried to deny it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I came out looking.
It's not what it looks like.
It's not what it looks like. Came out when I looked like I had smallpox. Do you know what I mean? But I was so bad at lying. She was like asking me, and I was trying to like distract her by like taking a drink of water. Have you ever seen the video of those guys at the end stage of what is it, rabies, where they can't drink the water and the body just rejects it? Yeah. Just the 27?
Just the 27.
I drew the line at 27.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Come on, don't take the piss now.
Yeah.
Lust is one thing, greed is another. So yeah, shocking. I know, but still really bad. Like really, really regret it. And lived with that. Sorry, it's not nearly as bad as, of course, the person who got cheated on.
Mm.
But like that was a massive childhood regret and going like, don't ever behave like this again.
A good lesson to learn as a teenager, though. Because I think like if you start doing that when you're living with people or in really, really serious relationships, that's when like you can do irreparable damage.
Well, you see, we talked about this recently and I always get up my high horse when I talk about cheating because for me, it sits in a certain, like, you know, on the spectrum of like betrayal. It's
sure.
Fairly, on the extreme end. But then again, I suppose every relationship is entirely different and there are absolutely other ways of eroding somebody's health and well-being in a relationship that isn't cheating on them.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? That you could do worse damage by just slowly corrosively stripping them back of their
Yeah.
Is this a comedy podcast? Because I thought it was. This is what happened.
You've chosen a tough subject this week, Mike.
You get a couple of 100,000 listeners and all of a sudden Michael's launching stuff in at the church and I'm having what is this? Dublin, Ireland. A city of bankers and brokers. The city crumbles to ash in the feet of the pub yard smokers. We have nowhere to go and nowhere to look. The green-eyed monster once green because of luck. But the jam stopped. Counting all the leaves on the shamrock. That's my jam, what?
making soup in jam pots. Do you want the croquettes? Yes, I'll have the ham hock. I think I saw your mom, not. Why are you sarcastic?
That's just go. What is this?
That was all off the top of
my head. Was it? The ham hock was excellent.
The ham hock croquettes.
So I was ever going for about 11 years. And no, I was with him for 11 years. And I realised he had been, I found out he'd been having an affair for about the last four. And there was a little girl that he worked with, when he used to crunch it, work husband and work wife. Ugh. Nothing gives me like the ick more now than when we hear that phrase. But anyhow, I questioned him on it like a few times over the course of the relation because they were really close. And I really just, you know, your gut is just telling you something is just wrong. But he was a compulsive liar. Like if he didn't want to go on a night out, he'd turn around and tell someone he broke his leg or just something absolutely, like completely just off the Richter scale of lies. And I shouldn't know. But anyway, I remember questioning him on it and just being like, you know, he would like go on a night out or whatever with her and just be gone. And I was like, what is going on? Like, and he was just, and he said that she was having an affair with somebody that was in a relationship already and she was just really upset about it and he just had to give her, like, you know, he was just trying to be there for her as a friend and get her through it because she was really suffering and finding it really difficult. And he was like giving me all the details of the relationship. It was him. The whole thing was him. He was the person she was having an affair with. I was just like, when I found out afterwards, I was just like, oh my God, like absolute, just, he was insane. Like the level of lies, just, yeah, absolutely bonkers. And yet.
Yeah. That's completely mental now.
Horrific.
Also, work wife. You should be sentenced to 43 years in prison with thrice daily electroshock therapy.
Yes, totally.
That's
agree.
Lobotomy, please, territory.
Yeah.
I was walking down Grafton Street yesterday and I got stopped by one of those charity workers. Mm. And he referred to me as, he goes, well, if it isn't a dapper dude,
oh,
you know, one of these, a 37-year-old guy who looked like Billie Eilish, do you know what I mean? He didn't stand a chance. Fucking, he lost me with the shellac. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry. I was like, no, there's a dapper dude. Good luck. You ever get with those guys? I'm like, you're doing worse for the charity than the charity.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're actually making me not want to give. Stop. And you know when you go, oh, sorry, I'm busy. And they go, oh, Mr. Busy, well, this won't take too long. Please remove yourself from my ether now. You are doing worse for the Hanley Centre. They should get the kids from the Hanley Centre to do. This is, Mark, you are honestly treading a tightrope.
I am loving this.
But you know what I mean? It'd be more successful to get the kids from the Hanley Centre to stop you, because then you'd be like, Jesus Christ, yeah, absolutely. How can I help?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got this guy who looks like a disgraced British TV presenter from the 90s. Who's good with people, trying to bounce back in his high tops and his purple nail varnish. Do you know what I mean? Going like, hey, dude, excuse me? Do you mind if I just stab your leg? I can even walk beside you. You're about to get the Mark Megan special, which is repressed rage and extensive therapy to deal with said rage. But nevertheless, this is insane. This is insane.
It really is. I think as well, the whole work wife thing is a whole other level of cheating, because there's an intimacy where you're spending time together and it's not just like a once off thing.
It's very common though, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Big, big time.
Okay, let's go.
My friend's fiance cheated on her. Didn't just do it once. He did it twice after he begged her to take him back. My friend is notoriously late for everything. She is very bad at being on time. And basically, when he was found out for the second time and the shit completely hit the fan and they were definitely splitting up and selling the house, he tried to make out like she was the worst in the world, despite the fact that he had cheated on her twice. And the reason that she was the worst in the world was because, you know, very annoying that she's always late for things. And it's like, seriously, she was late for things, so you decided that you would cheat on her not once but twice with the same person from work. After it ourselves.
Okay. I'm definitely not on the side of the cheater.
That'd be very clear.
I was going to be like, you probably think this is okay.
People that are late.
Here we go.
I'm telling you, people that are late and then think it's like a fucking personality trait. Like people who live in New York and think it's a personality trait. It's not.
No.
It's not, by the way. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm always late. You're a cunt. You don't respect other people's time. Oh, sorry, the traffic was... No, there's always going to be traffic.
Yes.
Leave earlier to account for the traffic.
Say nothing.
It's just... People that think that is a personality trait is just, oh, you know, I'm just really bad with stuff like this. You're not bad if it matters to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guarantee you they're not late for their own appointments every day. I guarantee you they're not late for if somebody said, oh, there's free minge being given out in Brian Tom. This
of all the things.
Edward Gein. We watched that monster the other night and I just can't stop. It's the little trophy box of me. It's the worst, the most deplorable, unthinkable horror I've ever seen. But, you know, people that are late.
It's not endearing.
And it's not cute. You're not Zooey Deschanel. You're not in a coming of age movie. You're not quirky. You're not jerky. You're just the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, you know me. I'm all frazzled. You're dazzling me with your ignorance. I am sitting here stupefied and I have to then pretend, by the way, and pretend to be interested in anything that you say for this social encounter. There's somebody I know I don't see anymore. I just don't make plans with them, right? Because he would be late for absolutely everything. He'd WhatsApp you on the way going, oh, you wouldn't believe. I don't care about anything. Everything that you're saying now is irrelevant.
Yes.
I'm glad the funeral went. No. Do you know what I mean, though? People who are late and make it a personality trait, gone.
Done.
Good luck.
Now, if you're meeting someone, let's say 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
What is the acceptable time frame by which you'll like be okay for them to arrive?
11:02. 11:03.
I'm with you, but I always feel like I'm harsh.
No, you meet... Why? What is time?
Yes.
That's a big question I often ask myself. What is time? Who knows? It's nothing. It's a construct, right? Yeah. However... It's a construct that seems to work for most of us.
Yeah, we all agree upon it.
There are a couple of threads that keep us all, you know, present in this world and aware that we aren't just these floating organisms in the middle of space, right? Mm. Time is one of them.
Yeah.
Okay?
The basic one.
It gives us order and a sense of purpose and a sense of, like, things to attach onto consciously, blah, blah, to get through the day.
Yes.
If you say fucking 11 o'clock, be there at 11 o'clock. If it's not 11 o'clock, why is anything? It's like, for instance, do you know what? Oh, and we don't have time, but I was asked to do a pub quiz the other night.
Yeah.
And I refuse. Not because of the pub. It's the other people cheating in pub quizzes.
Oh, like, yes.
If you cheat in a pub quiz, you're over to me. You're dead. It's
totally,
over.
Totally agree.
It's finished. But you know, also, I love pub quizzes, right?
Yeah.
I was a Scrabble champion of Ireland in 2007. Genuine true.
Really?
Yeah. 2007. I went over, it was, to be honest, I bullied my way to the top. I got asked to Alexandra College for like the finals with all these different schools and I just mind fucked them all.
Are you joking?
Yeah, genuinely. I went in, I was like, you're a nerd, by the way, aren't you?
No, it was a mirror. It was, yeah.
If you ever.
I'm not.
No, but anyway, I love pub quizzes, right?
Yeah.
But if we're at a pub quiz, remember one time being on with like my mum?
Hmm.
I was like, okay, Grant, so who won the World Cup? Who captained Britain for blah, blah? And she was like, I think it's Robbie Fowler. I was like, well, it's definitely not Robbie Fowler because he was playing for Inter Milan at the time.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, no, I know, but we don't know, so we'll just put him dead anyway. I'm like, no, but he's definitely not the answer because we know that he was playing for Inter Milan. And she was like, yeah, but you don't know. So if we just put that down, no, if I put down Snowman, statistically, we stand more of a chance of winning. If I put down Minge Man, right? Mr. Minge, we stand, statistically, we stand more of a chance because... We can say with 1,000% certainty that it wasn't Robbie Fowler. Also, Mum, what sort of an erratic way you've accumulated football knowledge over the years? Let's just run the tape.
Hey, Merrick, love the pod. So I was going out with this fella who heard his back once. Now, to be honest, I think he was really acting up. But when he went to the doc, he rang and told me he was put on anti-inflammatories and muscle relaxant. I was a bit surprised, but I was like, Jesus, maybe he did actually hurt himself. Anyways, a few days later, he said he was feeling a bit better and was going for a few pints with the lads. I was like, grand, no worries. Next day, comes no replies to my messages, but I did find out from someone else he had left the pub with another girl. I confronted him. He couldn't deny it. The whole pub had seen him. He started on this big fucking rigmarole about how he didn't really remember what had happened and he had read the package of the WhatsApp relaxants, and it specifically said, do not mix with alcohol while driving or operating heavy material. I said, what the fuck did they put you on? He then tells me it was 2 milligrams diazepam. As a nurse, I was like, would you fuck off? That wouldn't fill a hole in your back tooth. Needless to say, I left him and his bazin to himself. There was fuck all wrong with his back the night before.
Yeah.
Love it.
Outrageous. The heavy duty painkillers. And he's on like Benadryl day and night. Have you ever taken diazepam?
No.
I remember I got it when I got my wisdom teeth out.
Okay.
And I remember I got dry socket after I got my wisdom teeth out.
Oh, I've heard it.
Worst thing of all. Oh, yeah. My God. Like 10 or 12 days of just abject agony. But I remember at the time, I was like, when I was trying to get like, give up the drink myself.
Mm.
And I went like 10 days without drinking. I was like, told you I'm not an alcoholic. It's like, Mark, A, you're having this conversation with yourself whilst drunk. And you know that? Do you ever get that? You'd be like, you'd be looking in the mirror going, are you drunk yet? You're talking to yourself
most
in the mirror. It's over. The moment you're looking into the mirror to see if you're drunk or not, it's too late. You've crossed over the invisible line. Do you know what I mean? Because you never normally look in the mirror and go, am I pissed? Do you know what I mean? But I didn't drink for like 10 or 12 days, but the pain of dry socket is excruciating.
Yeah.
But on the way to get my wisdom teeth out, I had severe anxiety. So I had to go into the Blackrock Clinic. The guy gave me a prescription for diazepam.
Great.
And it basically takes the edge off.
Okay.
First time ever taking anything like that. After I got my wisdom teeth out, even with the dry socket, I was Googling how many wisdom teeth do you have? Because I was just, such was my, like, I was like, maybe if there's another one they could take out, then I'll get the diazepam really? As well. Yeah. But it's like I told you about my colonoscopy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got 3 colonoscopies last year.
Yeah.
And everybody should. Any male or female listening, if you notice anything weird, just go and get it looked at.
I'm in for one on Monday.
Okay, that's just a bit weird. Bit gay.
No, yeah, absolutely can't. There's just...
All right, mate. God. All right, airing your dirty laundry, pervert. No.
No, just move.
But I went in to get 3 colonoscopies. And I remember, this is like the... You know, whenever you tell people you're an alcoholic, you always get hit with that. Like, are you sure? Is it not just this? Is it not just that? And I was like, going through one of those periods of wonder, like, am I an alcoholic? Am I not? And I remember getting my colonoscopy. I was about like a year and a half sober, maybe right. 2 years sober. And I went in and they give you a sedation before the colonoscopy.
Yes.
But when they inject it, do you breathe in or inject it? Breathe it in, I think.
I think it's with
the mask.
Yeah.
But just before the sedation fully hits, there's like a sweet spot of like 0.4 of a millisecond wherein the world just stops and becomes honey. And inside your head is just like soft. It's like a duvet of the mind for like a millisecond.
Yeah.
And I remember after the first colonoscopy, she was like, I'm sorry, we didn't find anything, but I want to get a deeper look. Michael's in the waiting room. No, he keeps checking himself in as if it's a fucking physio.
You've broken arm, Michael.
Yeah, exactly. He's bought a GoPro. Use this. Michael, you're fine. Why is it brown? Anyway, but I remember she was like, I'm sorry to break the bad news. We're going to have to get you in for a second one. And I was just like,
yeah.
Because I knew that I was going to get that 1 millisecond of relief.
It's so wild, isn't it?
There you go. Addiction.
Yeah.
Persona. Good stuff, as the fella says. The unrelenting desire to escape from self. This is an unusual podcast. I'm waiting to get the call for labour and I'm just all over the place. So please forgive me, okay? Okay, so Michael, I just want to read out a couple to you.
Okay. Right?
These are some of my favourites that came in on Instagram that didn't come in voice notes, but I just want to hear your thoughts on this one, right?
Right.
Cheaters' excuses, okay? Mm-hmm. First one came in, geography, but I was young and taught if I failed Da JC, I wouldn't be allowed to do DLC. It's not exactly a murder mystery as to whether or not he ended up doing the Leaving Cert. Say he never did the Leaving Cert.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption, yeah.
Or if he did, he probably has more penalty points than he got in the Leaving.
Yes.
My favourite one that I got, though, was this. His excuse was, told me he'd never seen an arse from a different country before.
was just curious and on holidays. Good stuff. David Trimble, international relations. Do you know what I mean? The Kofi Annan of philandering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just exploring himself.
Just interested in human relationships. Relationships. He should be the creative director for Benetton. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Or like a Dove ad.
Just multiracial arses.
Just all these different arses.
Bums of the world.
Just bums of the bums of Britain. Britain. Bums. Every bum is bummy. Britain. You know those British ads? They're all like, the bums of Britain. Different shapes and sizes, colours and rises. We'll keep going.
Okay.
Saw a Tinder message pop up. Said he was in a group Tinder with his friends to help him with girls. That bananas.
Is ridiculous.
Absolutely bananas. This one's harrowing. Deb's night. She rode taxi man doing lifts home from the hotel in his taxi.
Jesus Christ.
And the taxi still drove me home.
Oh my God. Debs are complete and utter like car crashes of events.
I left my Debs genuinely at 25 past 11.
Really?
Yeah, because they started doing a conga line. And I was like, I just got back from LA. I was like, I'm out of here. You fucking losers. You dweebs. Doing the conga line. I was like, this is madness.
You wouldn't be one for rock the boat then at weddings.
Rock
though.
The boat. Literally fetch me a brick and bludgeon me. Come up behind me when at the urinal and just go into the cranium. Enter the skull from the back, please.
Jesus.
So, my cheater's excuse. He said that I wasn't open-minded enough for him sexually.
Okay.
Then he wrote his fourth cousin at Puck Fair. Good stuff. The kingdom. I've been to Puck Fair. It's unbelievable.
Have you? I was meant to go to it for a stag. Didn't know.
No.
Wouldn't be for me.
I went down to Puck Fair many moons ago. I used to actually been a few times.
Really?
My leaving cert night, I was at Puck Fair. The day that I got our results.
Yeah.
A1 in English.
Nice. 100%.
100% in English. Let's go. Don't ask me what I got in maths. D3 in ordinary level.
Are they trying to close it down? Do they still put the goat up? Not Mark.
They couldn't,
I saw the eyes go.
They couldn't stuff me. Shoving apple up his bum and stuffing it in his mouth. Someone fetch the rosemary and fucking get it up Megan's cavity. No volunteers, Michael. Because the ass stuff
yeah,
that
I'm
you
with
like.
You, I'm
just
with
continuity
you, yeah.
of you liking stuff Eiffel up the ass. That's the gag. That is classic male on male comedy. God. Sorry about the divorce, by the way.
It's all right. Thanks.
Right, so the general gist of it was there was a lot more to that, but people would know if I gave any more detail. So when our daughter was only born, like a few months, obviously I was up day on night 8 and his phone was on the nightstand and I seen like Tinder pop up. And now a few days previous he did get us home. Fixed, in one of the phone shops, and I obviously woke him up and was like, "What the fuck is this?" Because it was like messages from people, and there was a Tinder app, and there was fucking plenty of fish app, and he was like, "Well, I don't know." So I just said, "Well, what? Where did you get it from?" Like, and what are you doing on it? Like, and he goes. The fella that was fixing me phone must have downloaded it for himself. Like on Tinder. I was like, clearly he didn't. Like, just makes no fucking sense. But yeah, so that's my cheating story. He pretended that the Chinese downloaded a load of dating apps on the song.
The Chinese didn't do that. Also, by the way, surely just look at the profile and go, oh, there's a Chinese man. Oh, my partner, if he's not a Chinese man... Yes.
It's not him.
Oh, that if literally, if the, you know, the profile says, like, I'm trying to think of a Chinese name, like, Lee.
Lee.
Okay. Lee Chan.
Yeah.
There you go. Standard Chinese name.
Yeah.
Lee Chan. Oh, yeah, that's not you. But if it says, like, Dermot Murphy, and it's a picture of Dermot, yes, he's cheating on
it's
you.
It's you, yeah.
Like, again, just have... The Chinese, they get done so dirty. Don't be having a go at the Chinese. It's nothing
That's
to
their
do-
fault. Also, they're fixing your phone.
Do you think that these Chinese guys, like, they're like, right, now's our chance, lads. let's get on to Tinder. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
None of that makes any sense. It was like somebody wrote in saying that she caught her boyfriend on Tinder, and his excuse was that he said that, no, me, him and his mates all downloaded it to enter a group chat on Tinder wherein
go away.
If you're explaining, you're losing.
Can I ask what you think about partners checking each other's phones?
I don't. I would not be a fan of that.
No, but like, do you think, obviously in this case, she probably had reason to, or not reason to, she like, yeah, ended like up naturally doing it.
I think it's really shit that somebody finds himself in that situation. And again, it's easy to say that you wouldn't do something until you do the thing. Do you know what I mean? So there's no point in me being sanctimonious about it. Like, I am always a firm believer of talk. Just go and address them. Look your partner in the eye and say, I am really concerned about your loyalty here.
Mm.
And I need you to talk me through this because it's causing me a huge amount of concern.
That's fair.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
But again, I say that now in the sober light of day, being like, oh yeah, I'm a rational mind and man for the most part. You know, sometimes-ish. Like, I don't know what I would do in the situation if I had like loads of suspicions and I thought that Darren was, you know, she was finishing the gutter in earlier than expected. Do you know what I mean? And if she was nipping off before I got her to replace the chimney, off down to the chimney sweep at 2 a.m, then, you know, might have a little peek.
Hi, Mark and Mick. So a boyfriend of mine from a couple of years ago went out on the lash one night and seemed to have accepted 4 or 5 random girls that had added him on Snapchat, I assume over a long period of time, but he chose this night to actually accept them all and start snapping them. And he was so drunk, he had the phone open in front of me when he came home. And when I quizzed him on it the next day, he just said to me that he didn't recognize their names and wanted to know who they were and why they were adding him. And a boyfriend of mine from college downloaded Tinder while we were together and started matching and chatting to women on it. So we had been in an argument and hadn't spoken properly in a couple of days, and just tensions were quite high. And we obviously later resolved things, everything was fine. And then a few weeks later, a friend of mine sent me a screenshot of his very recently updated Tinder. And when I quizzed him on it, he said that the argument that we had and the cold shoulder that he was getting from me left him so insecure and vulnerable that he needed to get validation from random women on the internet because he wasn't getting that validation and sense of security from me because I was crossing him. And I stupidly stayed with him for about a year, 18 months more at that.
Well, look, I'm sorry that you did stay with him for that long afterwards. And I'm sorry that people can be so convincing even at the least believable times. Like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, what a letdown, Seamus. I can't believe you've done this.
No.
I don't work with me here. I'm trying to work. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, God.
Oh, Seamus, this is the one thing I asked you. I just don't know how men do this. Just going to how could you have the balls, right? Blue or otherwise.
Yeah.
How could you have the balls, brass or otherwise, to, you know, to have the audacity to download the dating app and be like, yeah, just swipe it away. Ah, there's my neighbour. Like, we live in Ireland. Do you know what I mean? Not in fucking Taiwan. There's the Chinese again. Do you know what I mean? We don't live in Tokyo.
Yeah.
That's Japan.
That's Japan. So, good man. No.
I'll be fucking Shinjuku strutting over there and giving you, get us? Reference to a Rick Wade song, Shinjuku Strut. So, one of my favourites.
Oh, very good.
Anyway, the coffee's hit.
Yes.
The
apps thing is mental.
I don't know how people have the balls to do it.
No.
Like, I do not know how. Would you surely just be like, oh, as soon as you download an app, it's just got, like, it's out there.
Yeah.
And where the fuck do you live like that? You think that they're that some sort of inanely hustling metropolis? Is this like Mad Max or something where... Not even that hustling, but like, you know, there's that many people, they think, yeah, no one's going to notice.
It's crazy.
And what's the plan? Like, you know, hey, how are you? Grant.
Yeah.
Do you fancy meeting up? No. I have a wife. Now, I do think lots of people, like when I was on the date, I was only on the dating apps very briefly before I met Darren, thank God. But like, I didn't have any dates.
I never really met anyone off dating apps.
Be more surprised. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, Megan.
No, but oh, me.
Did you ever do Raya?
It's not relevant.
Oh, there's a story there, is there?
Raya.
Yeah, Raya.
Ooh, our subscriptions is full. Is it, yeah? Is it, yeah? I'm in Soho House more than Nick Jones.
BBC.
I am the BBC.
Ben O'Barr.
3 years ago to the day that Darren went to our first ever show, my first ever show in the Bell O'Barr.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
First time I ever met her.
No way.
Little did we know.
That is crazy.
So if you're listening to this and if you were at the first ever show or if you've been to any subsequent shows, there's a good chance by going to a Mark Megan show. Think about the Bell O'Barr. There was 120 people there, right?
Yeah.
She was one of them. So there's if you were at that show, there is a 1.2% chance that I will impregnate you. And that's the game. Yeah.
Sweet.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Weekly Roast. I really appreciate it. It's a touchy couple of weeks. The baby is due any day. It's just, there's a lot going on. I'm trying to keep the roast on the road. We're trying to keep the show going. I'm trying to put things in place for the next couple of weeks so we can do things remotely. I hope you'll understand the somewhat disjointed and disparate approach to the show. Huge thank you to Mystery Mick, as always, for being our knight in shining armour as a producer, as a sidekick. And a producer and a friend. I hope you're doing well out there. I hope you're doing okay. It's been so lovely hearing from all of you over the last few weeks. So if you want to shoot me a message on Instagram at Megan Mark, let me know what you think of the show. But of course, the most important thing of all is send it to a friend, share the episode with your friend, and that's how we grow. And make sure you're subscribed and follow wherever you're listening to this now. If you just click follow, it makes an enormous difference to us. So thank you very much. Peace. Chat to you soon.